It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
617-779-7937 is your phone number here. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. Happy Labor Day, everybody. Hope you're, if you're commuting, that you're out there driving. I'm sure it's rough. I'm sure it's rough getting off that bridge if you're coming up from the Cape, or if you're heading down from the lakes, or from Maine, or wherever it is that you like to spend your time on the long weekends. We welcome you in and have room for you. By the way, we have one open phone line right now at 617-779-7937. Big week here, the start of the new sports year. As far as I'm concerned, when week one of the NFL season begins, that's really when it all starts. The Red Sox melting down, Alex Cora melting down this weekend with some baffling decisions. All of that on the table here as we continue through the 4 o'clock hour. 617-779-7937. What do you say, Andy? Should we stick with the phones?
Hell yeah, let's talk to our people. These are
any
new
big
people.
Any big takes you want to get out before we turn it over to the people here?
Labor Day overrated? I don't really get Labor Day. I Googled it earlier. And it really is from the labor unions in like the 1800s that wanted to celebrate workers and stuff.
Right. But what's not to get about that?
I don't know. It's just a strange holiday. Like, what do we do? Like, so you get a day off? Is that, you get lots of days off? I don't know. I'm always a little confused by Labor Day.
So you're pro less days off. Okay, that's good.
No. Did you know it was May 1st was another alternate Labor Day? People wanted it to be May Day. Mm-hmm. But it was like violent and there were issues, and so it ended up being this. And now it's taken on a very traditional part of our calendar. Like, yeah, you go back to school before Labor Day or after, and high school football season, and the NFL kicks off after Labor Day and all that. So I guess it sort of is an interesting marker on the calendar, but I've never really... I'd rather have a floater. Just give me a floater.
A floating holiday, you mean?
Yeah, I don't know what you mean. Well, just a floating holiday.
You know, well, you said I'd rather have a floater. I didn't know. I didn't know what type of floater you were referring to.
Get your mind out of the toilet.
Hey, listen, sometimes it's just there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. What do you think? Let's spin the wheel here. Red Sox call or Patriots call?
Patriots call.
Patriots call. All right, let's go to Colin in Malden. He's been waiting the longest with the Patriots call. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
What are you calling about?
Yeah.
Well, first off, this is my biggest thing, okay? And I'm not the biggest Drake May guy, and that's okay. But why do we draft Drake May third? Could have got Marvin Harrison. We're going to stink anyway. Why are we doing this? And then why don't we just stink and draft Quinn Ewers after this season? I just don't understand this. Can you respond?
Quinn Ewers is not as good as Drake May.
That is, oh, my God.
Oh, my God, what? Do you think he is? I mean, make an argument if you think he is. Like, he's not, just so far, he didn't get off to a great start. And either way, I think that the argument to be made there is, do you want to build up an offense and then put a quarterback into it, or do you want to build the offense up with the quarterback there as part of it? And the former, I thought that what the caller was saying, maybe not, you know, drafting Quinn Ewers, but, you know, deferring that decision to get the quarterback and not waste a year of him with this terrible offense, that made some sense to me. My plan was draft Harrison, sign Russell Wilson, you know, maybe sign another receiver here or there, get the offensive line together, and maybe have like an 8 or 9 win season. And then if you want to go and get back into the top three, then you put a trade together and you get that quarterback you want, or you do whatever you have to after that. Or maybe you suck again and it doesn't matter and it was all just for naught. but at the very least, you were trying to put something together, and you had a season that wasn't unbearable to watch, which is what I think we're careening towards right now. So I sort of understand what the caller's talking about there. Once it seemed obvious that they weren't going that way, once it seemed obvious that they wanted to get their quarterback this year and that they thought this was the big class for it and this was the time to do it, I basically resigned myself to that fact, and I know that I was in the minority there. I think a lot of people like these quarterbacks. A lot of people like Drake May. I didn't really. I thought that it was sort of a down year for a lot of these guys. But you also don't know what the next year is going to be like. I mean, there was a big quarterback year, and then the next year, the only guy that was available was Kenny Pickett. And, like, you know, mm-hmm. that's the way it goes sometimes. So I think that you don't want to get caught up in one of those. But I also think in college football right now, there's a lot of good quarterbacks. There's a lot of good wide receivers. It seems like it's sort of a almost like a golden age with these wide receivers recently anyway. You know, just so many good ones come out and are good right away. They're rookie years, and that's been going on now for, you know, 5-6 years in a row. And the same can't really be said for the quarterbacks. They have been more of a project lately, even the good one. Trevor Lawrence wasn't good right away. Mac was good right away and then sucked. I think that you're seeing sort of like the pluses and minuses of that. C.J. Stroud versus Bryce Young just last year. You know, it's been much more hit or miss, I'd say, than some of these wide receivers, which is what I would have liked to have maybe built that part of it up. And then, you know, you roll the dice with the quarterback after that. But they didn't do it that way. And here we are now. The caller's line said something about Joe Milton, which the point you never got to. I was wondering when he was going to be like, why not just draft them and have Joe Milton start? And then you have Joe Milton and Marvin Harrison, which is not what I was hoping for, by the way. But, you know, I did understand and I did respect the merits of going about this team build in a different way that didn't involve drafting the quarterback this year. I don't think that would have been the worst thing ever.
I think it would have been dumb. I think if you need a quarterback and there's something close to what you believe is a franchise quarterback on the board, you have to take him. They're too few and far between, too difficult to find. Also, Zach, if you get a chance, could you re-rack Colin scoffing at me, because that may be my favorite part of this entire show. Maybe
that was pretty good. I did enjoy that. That should be like a promo, I think, going forward.
I love it. Love it. But, you know, Drake May was considered a franchise quarterback. That's just the simple reality. You may be against that. You may not believe that. It may be proven wrong, but that's what he was considered. And Quinn Ewers is not necessarily considered that right now. You know, Carson Beck is considered, I think, by most people to be the number one quarterback in this year's draft. Shedeur Sanders is in that conversation. Then Quinn Ewers is in that conversation. The kid that from Penn State is going to make a run at it, keep an eye on him. He had a nice opening weekend, and he's sort of in the Drake May mold. I think he could be a riser in this quarterback class. But you just mentioned it. First of all, I want to... There are wide receiver busts. There's more than people think of.
Sure.
That bust out or aren't as good. Now, the difference is, we always talk, there's only one quarterback. So if you're a questionable pick at receiver, you're still probably playing because there's probably three of them on the field at all times, and you're putting up some numbers, and you know what? You may bounce around a little bit, but you're still in the league, whereas quarterback is such a hit or miss, boom or bust, you know, you're out of the league pretty quickly kind of position. But and I don't think it's an accident that wide receivers are coming. That's part of why I would not go after a wide receiver first, because I think there are more of them available, and I think there will continue to be so in this modern 7-on-7 era where these kids play all summer long and these receivers are honing their skills at a pretty high level without being hit. But the reality is, if you have a receiver or you have a tackle or you have a receiver and a tackle and you don't have a quarterback, you still suck. You need a quarterback. Quarterback is always going to be the most important position in all of football. It just is, every level. They thought they took a bite at the apple of a franchise quarterback. We will see. Obviously, Colin scoffs at that idea.
Yes, yes, he does. All right, let's go to Tim in Brockton. He has a thought on Javon Baker. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, is he not allowed to voice his opinion? I don't understand what he was disciplined for. He was just, you know, aggravated and upset about the ticket. Did he get disciplined?
Rod Mayo, yes.
Gerard Mayo said he didn't care for it. They said they had a conversation. He said he wasn't going to keep him out of the game or anything like that, but that he didn't like that he went on and started bad-mouthing the police. I mean, I think that's really what it was.
It's a
that
dumb
team
thing.
And all pro sports teams.
He was swearing about the cops, mocking his job, like telling him he worked for him. You don't do this. What's wrong with cops? Did you watch the video?
Yeah. Have you been hearing what's been going on with the Mass State Police? I mean, they don't have a really good track record right now. That's, I mean,
you may be right about that, Tim. That notwithstanding, that didn't have anything to do with Javon Baker getting the ticket at the airport. I mean, that's you know, two different things there.
Saying Javon Baker is dumb because of Jack Jones. You can't lump them all together. Javon Baker did something dumb. There's things in this world called like conduct unbecoming or detrimental. Like, these organizations have choices to make as how they want to handle themselves and what they want the public perceptions of them and their players to be. And clearly this is something that is going to rub leadership and I think almost any organization the wrong way. Like, don't you think you'd get reprimanded if you did the same thing? The
100%.
Exact same thing.
I know I would.
And I think Mike Thomas would have you in his office.
Definitely he would. And I don't think that Baker said anything that was really bad. I mean, I don't think he said anything that was actionable or something to get him kicked off the team. And I don't even think he did anything as bad as Jack Jones bringing a gun through the airport. Like, that was, you know, that was the big Patriots airport thing. It's just, you don't, now you hear about a guy getting in trouble at the airport, and that's immediately the first thing you think of. But really, it was because of what he said afterwards. If he just got a ticket at the airport, no one would care. It's the fact that he went on and decided to carry on about it and whine and complain about it and sound like kind of a jackass. That's what he got called into the principal's office for. But I don't necessarily think it's going to affect much. It's pretty low on the list of things that guys get in trouble for in this league, I would say. It just wasn't a great look, that's all. I mean, it's PR stuff. You know, you're not making us look good, and we have a relationship with these officers for security and all sorts of other stuff. So, you know, give it a rest. And I think that was it.
Well, they do have a relationship, because if Javon Baker looks in front of the bus and behind the bus and beside the bus when they're going to the airport, there will be cops, state troopers, leading their way, protecting them. And Darius Slay wants as much protection as possible when he goes to Brazil. We might get into that later. These guys are a big part of your security details at Gillette Stadium and on the road and all of that. But more, you just sound like an idiot. And from a team perspective, there may be some part that they're already annoyed with this guy's development and maturity and different things, and like, this is like the next layer, and it's like, okay, we're gonna nip this in the bud, because this seems to be going in a direction we don't want to go. We just lived Jack Jones, which went in a direction they didn't want to go, and they deal with this all the time, right, with players and maturity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, becoming professionals and acting like a professional. My guess would be Javon Baker is spending some time with Matthew Slater yesterday, today, and, you know, at some point, hey, Javon, check in with Coach Slater. He wants and carve out an hour or so. He'd like to have a conversation with you about how to be a Patriot and how to be a professional and how to be a man, right?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that happening. I feel like the whole, you know, sitting the new guys down and explaining to them about the Patriot way thing has been kind of dead and buried here for a long time. But, you know, you might as well try, especially
way.
When you got like a problem child here.
But this isn't Patriot way. This is professional way. You think the Patriots and Gerard Mayo are the only team that would have been upset with that video?
No, definitely not.
I think Mike Tomlin would have been very upset with that video. Mike Tomlin was very upset with Antonio Brown when he was going live in the locker room 5 years ago or whatever the hell that mm-hmm. was. Like, there's certain things we do and don't do. There's smart things. There's dumb things, right? And this would fall under things we don't do that are dumb.
Yeah, agree with that. All right, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to your Red Sox phone calls right after trending. Here was Echo.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, the Red Sox fell to the Tigers 4-1, your final from Detroit yesterday. Sox dropped 2 out of 3 to the now surging Tigers. Cooper Criswell got the start, going 4 perfect innings before being pulled in favor of Rich Hill, who was stuck with the loss. Sox now sit 4.5 games back of the final wild card spot, currently being held by the Twins. Next up, a trip to Queens to take on the Mets, who are in a similar position as the Red Sox, battling for playoff position. 3 games set, kicking off tonight. Brian Baio taking the mound opposite Luis Severino. Our coverage of that game starts at 6:10 with Cooper Boardman on the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Lou Maloney will have the call of the game on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch is set for 7:10. College football kickoff weekend wraps up tonight when the Boston College Eagles head down to Tallahassee to take on the 10th ranked Seminoles. Kickoff set for 7:30. You can hear John Mita Perel's call of that game on WEEI 850 AM. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More of the WEEI afternoon show coming up after this.
Quinn Ewers is not as good as Drake May.
That is, oh my God.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Pivotal moment in the weekend. The Red Sox lose 2 out of 3 to the Detroit Tigers, who are now right behind them in the standings. The Tigers making a push here. Not get left out. They've won 8 of their last 10 games. 2 in a row. They're only a half game back of the Red Sox right now, who are 4.5 games back from both the Royals and the Twins, neither of whom have been playing well lately. The Royals just got swept over the weekend. The poor play between them and Minnesota has allowed Cleveland to jump back up to the top of the Central, while the Red Sox still trying to figure it out, unable to really make any progress here. But despite not making any progress, you also have to remember that they aren't losing ground either. I mean, that's sort of the thing. And they did down a half a game now because Minnesota did win, and that boosted them up a little bit. But with the Royals now out, in the funk that they're in, it is only a 4.5-game lead that they're enjoying right now over your Red Sox with 4 weeks to go, which, according to the Tom Caron math, that means they're eliminated. Mathematically, they're not yet, but it does seem like if they're going to make this push, they got to do it soon. And I just don't think, number one, they even have it in them. And even if they do get on a hot streak here and they do get a couple games closer, I don't think this is the last dip that this team has in them this year either. That's sort of the problem. That's really what this all comes down to for me, Andy, is that, you know, Alex Cora has been, for the most part, a good manager this year. I haven't had a big problem with the way that he's managed this team. It's after the All-Star break. It's the month of August and the month of September, really, going back a couple of years now, where you see the wheels just completely fall off. And whether or not that's all Cora's fault, like, I don't blame him for the offense going in the tank. I don't even blame him for the, for the relievers who came here in the trade deadline and weren't able to be effective either. That wasn't, on its face, his fault. But eventually, you have to wonder, like, is there someone out there who can gather these guys together and not let them completely melt down every August? Like, that's really what we're asking for right now. When it comes to Alex Cora, for the last 5 years, you haven't been able to ask him that. You just haven't. I mean, there was the one year, even when they made it to the ALCS, that was an ugly, ugly August. They were falling apart and managed to back in at the very end of that season. But other than that, it's been meltdown after meltdown. And even though a lot of people thought this year would be different, it looks like it's basically the same thing.
Wait, would you term this a meltdown right now?
Yes.
Feels strong.
Yes, I would.
Feels a little strong,
I would,
to me.
Well, how is that strong? Since the All-Star break, you don't think this has been a meltdown?
I think meltdown is, it's over. And you just said you think it's over, but they've kind of been going up. I think they're a bad roller coaster. Actually, they're a good roller coaster for me, because I hate roller coasters. My belly gets hurt. This is the kind of roller coaster I would ride, where it's just like kind of little bumps up and down. They're up. They're going to get closer than 4.5 games. They'll be within 2.5, 3 games. And then they'll lose a couple. Like, they're just not a consistently good baseball team right now, and I have no reason to believe they're going to suddenly become a consistent baseball team. But I don't know that they're imploding, necessarily. They're a Bayo outing away from everybody feeling good again, right? You know, if he pitches...
Not me.
No? Oh, no. I think if Bayo
has one good start, I'm not going to suddenly feel... I didn't feel suddenly good after his last good start.
He's coming off a great start, and if he... puts that together with another one, that will change the way people feel. Like, it absolutely will, because you and I talked about it. You don't have anybody you feel like you can hang your hat on, and if suddenly you have somebody you can hang your hat on, and you go, well, that guy's got five more starts, or four more, probably five more starts, pitching the way he's pitching. You're going to win all five of those, or do this. People talk themselves into anything, because they want to believe in this baseball team. They've wanted to for a while now. We've taken the bait every year. We've fallen for it. We've taken the cheese every year when they're like, well, you know, we're this close, this blah, blah, blah. People want to support this baseball team. I firmly believe that. And then they just aren't given reason to support them down the stretch most of these Augusts and Septembers. But I don't think they're falling apart.
In the second half, the only good stretch that they've had really since the All-Star break was at the beginning of August, the end of July. They won 6 out of 8 games. That was when they beat Seattle in that series. They took a series against Texas, 2 out of 3 against Kansas City, and then they got swept by Houston, and it all kind of came undone after that. But that really, in this entire time since, and that was the All-Star break was July 19th, was their first game back from there. That is the only stretch of games you can look at and think, okay, they weren't that bad. You know, like things were looking okay, things were looking up. Other than that, and that's an 8-game sample that I'm telling you about from 42 games, I think, that they've played since the All-Star break. 8 of those games, you were like, all right, this is an okay stretch. The rest of it has been pretty miserable, Andy. Like, I'm not cherry picking here, and I don't really think I'm exaggerating. Like, they started off losing 4 straight. They seem to be getting swept. They've had more 4-game losing streaks than they had 2-game winning streaks. It's like,
but
and they had 1 3-game streak, and that's it. I mean, that's bad play. That's inconsistency.
No, see, I think they're not good. They're not terrible, but they're not good. And like, they had that opportunity, that stretch there where they got swept by the Astros. Remember then they had the next series shortly thereafter and they lost game one and everybody's like, oh, they're going to get swept again. This is over. And then they took 2. So they took 2 out of 3 from the Astros. Like,
after they got swept by Houston, yeah, they lost again and then they won the next 2. And then they got swept by the Diamondbacks after that.
And that's who they are. That's my point right there. Because an abomination is swept again by the Astros because we can't play with real baseball teams kind of mentality. They just tease you enough. Like, the Yankees, remember when they went through their stretch and that whole thing where Cashman was pissed and he was going on the road and he was going to Tampa? Like, there's just the longevity of the baseball season opens the door for some pretty poor stretches of play, even from the best teams. And the Red Sox are not one of the best teams. I'm not making that argument or even close. So I just don't think they've fallen apart yet. And that may be on the horizon. We'll see. I'm just taking it as it goes. Right now, I see a up and down roller coaster that has no dramatic highs and lows. It's the least popular roller coaster on the planet.
Sounds like it. And by the way, Yankees had a tough weekend themselves with the St. Louis Cardinals. Let's go to the phones again. 617-779-7937. Joe is in Boston. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on the fact that you've got to be pretty naive to think that Cora's making these decisions on his own. If you listen to his statement after the game, he said, that's the way we drew it up. Who's we? That's what I'd like to know. It's not just the pitching coach or the bench coach. It's the analytic geeks that are calling shots. And don't misunderstand this. When Snow was taken out of the game in the 6th game of the World Series, throwing a one-hitter with 63 pitches that he had thrown, or 67, they pulled him. Why did Kevin Cash pull him? No manager worth his salt would have pulled him in that situation. That was absurd and ridiculous. But they had a pregame plan set, and that's what they follow. And that's what's happening now throughout baseball, not just the Red Sox. And that's what you're going to see more and more. If you're making $7 million a year, do you think you're going to go no, I'm not going to do that? No. He's going to follow the plan. And I think that's part of it. He's a great manager. I would take him to war anytime. But you know, you can only do so much when you've got these analytic geeks who they're hiring. They're not baseball people. They're mathematical people. And that's what they do. They quantify everything. I've gone through this. They put down numbers on every metric imaginable.
Yes, they do. Joe, thanks for the call. I know what you're saying, and you made the point. I agree with you, and I think that there is some truth to what you're saying. Let me put it to you this way. If I'm Alex Cora and I just got a 3-year extension for $7 million, and some analytics guy comes up to me and says, hey, no matter what Criswell's doing through 4 innings, we want to go to Rich Hill, and I'm in there managing the game in mid-game, and Criswell's got a perfect game going, and I'm looking down at the thing. Well, four innings, we said we'd take him out no matter what. But I'm the manager. He's got a perfect game going. Not a good game. Not even a no-hitter. A perfect game going. I think the analytics department will understand if I leave him out there for another inning or another couple batters or something before I go to my 44-year-old slop-throwing lefty. Like, I think even the big-time nerds up there in the front, even John Henry, who's not even paying attention at all, he's throwing a perfect game, oh my goodness, like that, even he would understand that one, I think. Like, there's sometimes where you can veer off the path a little bit, and I think when a guy's got a perfect game going, that's an appropriate time to do it. I think Alex Cora knows that, and I think that if he had done that, he knows how it works around there. You can call your own shot once in a while. You can call an audible here and there in the in-game situation, and I don't think he did. I think he sort of did what the caller's saying, which is just sort of, well, you know, this is what they wanted me to do. This was the plan. Who am I to stand in the way? You're the manager, all right? And your guy's got a perfect game going. Stand in the way. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for him, and let's make better decisions here, because that one, there's no, I'm sorry, the analytic department can come down to his office and say, hey, you know, what'd you leave him in there for? And all he has to say was, he was throwing a perfect game. All right, you friggin' nerd, now get out of my office. And I think he'd be in the right, and no one would really have too much of a problem with that. I certainly wouldn't have. I don't think any Red Sox fan would either.
Yeah, the only thing I would disagree with is, I'm not sure the nerds would agree with it, but they would have to accept it. And
right.
I think Joe missed the point. The 3-year, $21 million gives you longevity, gives you leverage. Like, okay, fire me. I get $21 million in the bank, and then I'll go get a job with another team. I'm not sure the nerds would, because I think the nerds would say, I know it didn't work, or it worked, whatever, but my algorithm says, and they would say, over the long run, if we did this X number of times, it would always favor us, blah, 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 blah. I think they would be beholden to their numbers, but yeah, that's the disappointing part to me, and then I get back to the confidence thing, and the actual interpersonal specific relationship between a manager and a pitcher. And I don't know how you can spin this on any other way is other than a lack of confidence in Cooper Criswell, because he just said, no, it didn't matter what he was doing. Okay, so it never matters? Do I always have a plan? I get to pitch four innings. Woo, I always get four. If I give up 100 runs, I'm pitching four innings. If I have a perfect game, I'm pitching four innings. Isn't that kind of stupid? Like that?
Yes.
That's idiocy to me.
It is.
And I don't think he's an idiot, but that is idiocy.
It's a stupid way to run your baseball team. And I'm not saying that's even Cora that's in charge of those type of things. If you put it all beholden to an algorithm or all beholden to stats and those type of numbers, then yes, you're going to completely ignore in-game situations, which is
right,
where your manager is supposed to be able to help you. And I think that that's a case where Cora should have made an executive decision. You know, here I am. I'm the one out here managing the game. All right, this is all going to fall on me if it doesn't work out here. I'm going to leave my guy throwing a perfect game in for another inning, guys, before I go to Rich Hill. What do you think about that? And if they have a real problem with it, they can come down here and they can make the call themselves. But right now, me in this game, like, you know, it's you pick your battles, I'm sure. And I'm sure that Cora's fought battles like this all season long with these people. I'm very confident of that, actually. He won't talk about it, you know, because it's all in-house stuff. But I'm sure that happens every single day. This was an instance where I think you didn't need to make some big stand. You didn't need to make some big show about it. But you could have very quietly said, you know what, Cooper, we're going to go another inning. All right, we're going to scrap the plan. If you get into trouble, we'll get you out of it. But right now, I want to keep riding this game you're pitching, because it's as good as it could possibly be. I mean, that's really all there is to it.
I feel like we spend a lot of time on this show and its short lifespan investigating the difference between we and I, and I mm-hmm. and we, whether it's Gerard Mayo or
right.
now Cora. Everybody gets analytical reports, right? Whether we want to call them analytics, scouting reports, information. The we, when Alex Cora says we, because he could have pulled a Gerard Mayo and said, I decided that
right.
we had a pocket of lefties and blah, 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 and I was doing this, whatever. Can't the we, I know we all jump to conclusions that it's the nerds and the nerds are sending it down and, oh, they don't even know baseball, they blah, blah. Couldn't the we just be like a manager, a pitching coach, and a bench coach?
Sure.
All baseball guys? Like, couldn't it be Veritech had an idea and Veritech plan? Like, we paint it in a certain
Andrew
way.
Bailey,
for
yeah,
a mo-
absolutely, it could.
Right? I mean, and that's where, again, same thing with the Patriots. I think it's fine if Gerard Mayo says we, and we is him and Alex Van Pelt and Ben McAdoo. They're not nerds. They're football coaches. They're quarterback experts, and they make a decision. you know, but people want to lump in, oh, Jonathan's doing this from the upstairs or whatever, all these other names. I just think sometimes the we can actually just be a manager slash coach and his top lieutenants, his advisors. Like, it doesn't have to be some strange group of nerds that are ruining our game with their computers and their calculators.
Generally, I'd agree with you, but in this case, I don't see ex-players, you know, Veritek. You think Veritek wants to take a guy out in the middle of a perfect game, or Andrew Bailey? You know, these are ex-players. These are guys who, you know, had been out there on the field for those type of things and would probably be like, what the bleep are you doing taking this guy out of the game if they were on the field playing? So it's hard for me to believe that it was them. But then again, you know, Cora was a manager. He played too, and he ended up going through with the plan too. So who knows, really? Who knows how much this has permeated these coaching staffs at this point? I don't know. But I will say this. It definitely reeked of analytical nerd crap. I mean, more so than it did something Andrew Bailey or Jason Veritek suggested. Let's take another call here. AJ is in Dover. What's up, AJ?
How's it going, guys?
What's going on, man? What's up?
Not too much. So I wish that Nugget was still on air so I could have that conversation with her, that she was 100% on the money, that the deadline was just a total fake buy by the front office. I mean, you look at the guys they got, and I'm not saying hold on to your prospects, because I'm all for even trading some of the top guys for, you know, the right person to come along, but they got four pretty much rental guys that they didn't have to shell out money to pass this year just to placate the fans. Like, oh, hey, look, we did something. And they weren't going to make an impact on winning or pushing for a wild card spot. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, AJ, you're right about that. You know, and I'm sure Mego...
They keep feeding us this crap.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, they just keep feeding us this crap, and then, you know, they're putting ketchup on it and telling us it's a Fenway Frank and to enjoy it.
Well said, AJ. I'm glad I let you finish that thought there. It was a good analogy. Nice words there from Ego as well. She was right about this, and I think that a lot of people sort of looked at the deadline, and even if you weren't disappointed in it, or I guess disappointed in who they got, you wanted them to do more. You know, like, I didn't know much about Sims and I didn't know much about Garcia, but when I looked up their numbers, I thought, all right, these guys aren't bad. You know, Sims before the trade had a 3.57 ERA in 35 innings, and Garcia before the trade, 3.86. Like, not great, but certainly respectable and certainly, you know, functional. Sims, since he got traded to the Red Sox, has an ERA of 8.10 in 10 innings. And then he got hurt. Garcia has pitched 11 innings for the Red Sox since he got traded here, and his ERA is 10.13. All right? So there's whiffing on the trade deadline and not doing anything, right? Like, we've seen him do that before. This time they actually went out and got a couple of guys who, whether you knew about them or not, had put together decent little seasons on Minnesota and L.A. as late-inning relievers, and that's what they needed. It was an urgent need, and they needed to go out and address it, and they did, and they were kind of aggressive about it, not super aggressive, but comparatively speaking to the last couple of years, I'd say that's aggressive, and they just ended up being busts. I mean, that's all there is to it. And then there's Paxton, who only gave you three starts, whatever it was, two and a couple innings there, and his ERA coming into this was 4.43 after the trade. He pitched with a 4.09 ERA. Like, that's what you were hoping for. You just didn't want him to get hurt. If he was giving you that week in and week out as the fifth starter in this rotation, then I think we'd be a lot more happy about this, and it would offset the relievers being such whiffs. But you still didn't get a right-handed bat, and you know, it ends up just being another one of these deadlines where you just look at it and think, yeah, it might have been something if they had just gone the extra mile, which they were not willing to do.
So I didn't even know, and you can tell me if this is actually accurate or not, that AJ said, like, that both Sims and Garcia are free agents after the year. They're not under contract.
I'll double check that, but I think that's right.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
I don't hate
both
that.
Both rentals, yeah.
I don't hate the idea of them. When you acquire middle relievers, I think that's actually a good spot to be in, because now the guy's pitching for his job. He's pitching for his future. He's pitching for a contract. Right. And I like that motivation, or whatever you want to call it. And I don't even have a problem with the rentals. The part is, it's rentals that weren't good. Like, they didn't work out. Like, you want higher quality rentals. This Airbnb that you rented has some bugs and isn't very clean, and the owner is, like, looking in the window every 5 minutes. That's the problem. Not that it's a rental, it's that it's a bad situation. So, yeah. But I said it the other day, We were all suckered. We bought it. And I wonder if Craig Breslow sort of chuckled at the time that people bought it hook, line, and sinker when he's like, Jesus, we got a DFA pitcher and a couple middling relievers for nothing, and these people are happy? Whew. Boston's much easier to work with than I thought it was.
Well, now reality smacks you right in the face. But yeah, at the time, people were like, okay, hey, well, it's something. And now it's not anything at all. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, it was a big college football weekend, and it continues into tonight with the Boston College Eagles and a familiar face on their sidelines. We'll get into all of that with your calls next. Back here, WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. We got young Zach Coe back there, and the ones and twos will be taking the phone calls at 617-779-7937. And what you're hearing right now is the BC fight song. I'm sure many of you out there already knew that, but in case you didn't, that's what it is. As they are going to be in Tallahassee tonight, taking on the Florida State Seminoles, who are the 10th-ranked team in the nation and looking to get back after an embarrassing loss in the very first game of the season against Georgia Tech, which seems like it was forever ago, but it wasn't really that long ago at all. You have some thoughts, Andy, on this college football season, not just in general, but for Boston College and their new head coach, Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, I really liked his comments. Now, they may be spin zone worthy about Boston College is a great school. Boston's a great place, the great campus. Why can't it
Take this to the spin zone? Is that what you're saying? Should we go to the spin zone right now?
I don't know if it's full spin zone. It's like have you ever had those salad things that people have to make like clean lettuce or whatever where you pump the little thing and it spins it a couple times?
Oh, and it spins them around? Yeah. Automatic salad tosser?
Yeah, it's, excuse me. What's that now?
It's someone's excuse nickname me? In high school, maybe. I don't know.
there's a little bit of an insight into your world. But anyway, we'll
could
move
be,
along.
Anyway. I'm just saying that's what it does. You press the button and toss the salad.
So, okay. This is more like that. I don't know if it's a full spin zone, like the dryer or whatever, the washer.
Zach, can you hit the spin zone button, please?
Oh, he wants it.
If you have it in there, let's do it. Let's get some spin zone going. It should be in there at one of our folders. I don't know. We just debuted it on Friday.
Spin zone.
Spin zone.
Spin zone.
It's the spin zone with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
All right, spin that salad, Hart. What do you got?
Okay, I'm going to spin the salad. He's right. Why can't Boston College be good? It's all about Boston College and what they want to be. And not just Billy O'Brien, and we know it'll come down to the administration and terms of what they're going to allow academically or limitations they're going to put on him financially and academically in terms of recruitment. But Boston College should be a playoff team. I'm just saying it. It's now a 12-team playoff. They've already talked about expanding it, so maybe within the near future it'll be bigger than that. You can tell me Boston College can't be one of the top 15 teams in the country with the resources they have. I like the way he has approached it, that the first thing they need to do is win with New England talent. Win with Massachusetts talent. Don't send frickin' Christian Wilkins and these guys to Clemson, where they can become stars and NFL players. All these guys that grow up in Massachusetts that are great Massachusetts players at the high school level, keep them. Don't just have good offensive lines at Boston College. Have good teams. Have good athletes. Have good defensive lines. Have good playmakers. There's talent littered all over the country that started in Massachusetts. It doesn't need to leave. And when it's here,
it's just at Catholic Memorial, and that's basically it.
Yeah, but I think you can sell that. Now, is it going to be easy? Is it going to start right out the gates? No, they might get thumped tonight. Who knows? I'm not going to say this is some Cinderella story season. But and Billy O, quite honestly, has some work to do with his own image around here, correct?
Sure.
Because, you know, everybody thought last year he was going to save Mac Jones, save the offense, save the Patriots, save Bill Belichick, and he didn't save anything. The offense wasn't good. It was historically bad.
Yeah.
Mac was broken. I still don't have a great explanation of why it went so bad so quickly. But Billy O needs to prove that he's the Billy O that could win with less in Houston, the Billy O that could turn around maybe the most dysfunctional football program in history at Penn State, right? Like, he needs to prove he's that guy and do that type of job at BC, and the challenge shouldn't be quite as grand. But I am a Billy O fan. I'm a Billy O believer. I think he's a really good coach that has proven it in a lot of different places with a lot of different people around him at various levels. And I'm going to go back to his sentiment. Why can't Boston College be good at football? Hell yes, they can be good at football.
It'd be nice to see. I certainly like when they're decent, you know, at the very least. I can tell you this. I believe that our producer today, young Zachary, has a BC NCAA 25 franchise going on right now, and they're doing pretty well. Is that correct?
Yeah, we kind of fell off a little bit.
Oh, no.
I messed up the recruiting in the first couple years. It is classic BC. Now we got Jeff Hafley out of there, though. So, yeah, I messed up the recruiting a little bit, made the playoffs in my first 2 years, and then I lost a lot of my talent and didn't really know what I was doing recruiting-wise. But we're looking to get back on track.
Now, Zach, did you go to BC?
I did my undergrad at Loyola Chicago and then got my master's at BC.
Got it. Oh, masters. Wow. Ooh, excuse me.
Perdóname.
Didn't realize we had a masters in here. But yeah, that's
why are you in here? Why are you doing show?
What
on
are you
a labor
doing here?
Day? You have a masters.
A master's in sports. So a master of sport.
Right.
What the hell is a master of sport? Is
yeah,
that
what
real?
Is that?
It was like sports administration, so it was a lot of like athletic director classes. There were some media classes,
and you couldn't
like
even recruit any 5-star in your yeah. video game. I mean, you got it. I don't know. The degree is worth what it's printed on anymore. But anyway, just kidding.
I'm asking
just
for
kidding,
a refund.
Zach. Of course. What BC? I mean, I think that they. Who's the kid? Castellanos. I mean, he's.
Yeah. I'm not sold he's the guy. He's a great athlete. I don't know if he's a
good
the
runner. He had a bunch of rushing touchdowns last year is all I really remember about him. So,
dynamic.
You know, we'll see.
Dynamic
I think,
rusher. Yeah.
Have they retained most of the team, it looks like? It looks like they've kept most of their guys. And I haven't done much research on this other than to just kind of look at who's who and what's what. It doesn't seem like a lot of kids hit the transfer portal. That could be a testament to O'Brien and them wanting to play for him.
Absolutely. And they have it, I forget, but I know they're like play for Billy O or believe in Billy O. They have like some hashtag they use on Twitter in terms of recruiting and what they're trying to do moving forward. And you look at it, I mean, Billy O is as good a guy as you're going to get at Boston College, who's not using it as a stepping stone. That's the other thing. You might be able to get an up-and-comer who'll come here for a year or two, but I think this is the perfect marriage at the perfect point in time for Billy O and Boston College. And I go back to it. You don't have to pretend. You were never going to be, this is where I jump ship with Billy O, you were never going to be a real playoff team, a top four team. Not happening. You're not competing with LSU and Michigan and Notre Dame and Ohio State. It's not going to happen. But top 12, top 15 or 16, if they expand it again, why can't you be in the top half of the top 25? Well, there's no reason you should not be able to do that. And I know we get a rap in this town about, you know, like, no one cares about college sports, college football.
I like how you just called it a rap. You wouldn't call it a bad rap.
Yeah. I firmly believe if you have players that are playing at that level, it will be embraced, especially, by the way, if the Patriots aren't all that good. And I know we're going to get into that a little bit tomorrow because I'm crossing paths with people both in real world and social media. The investment in the Patriots right now, I think, is interesting to look at from a fan perspective. But you tell me Boston College goes out tonight and upsets Florida State. You're going to tell me that there wouldn't be some excitement, and all of a sudden they win two or three in a row, and all of a sudden they're knocking on the door of the top 25. You're going to tell me people aren't going to watch? I don't buy it. I've been around. Like, people got excited when this team was good in the past with Matt Ryan and some of the other runs they've had.
Yep.
If you can bring the frustration back then was they couldn't get over the hump to really get into that conversation of elite, and then they would kind of peter out. Now you don't have to be elite. Get in the playoffs. Play playoff game football at Boston College, and that is a very, very realistic goal, in my opinion, and I think they would be embraced in this town, especially if Alex Cora's Red Sox are bowing out of everything every August and September, and Gerard Mayo's Patriots are scuffling along for a year or two. There's an opportunity for Bill O'Brien, I think, to steal some spotlight, steal some fans in Boston sports right now if they can create a fun environment at the Heights and put a competitive football team out there.
I agree with that 100%. It's another month plus until we get any Celtics basketball. So
right.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you. I think this could be an opportunity for him and for that team and for college football in general in this area to take a little bit of that spotlight back, because it's been on the Patriots for over two decades now, and even back before then. And I think now is the perfect storm of kind of suck with these other teams that they could actually do it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will talk about the Patriots and the level of fan interest or lack thereof that there seems to be going into this season. We'll reset on the Red Sox as well, and we'll look ahead to the future of this NFL season, maybe some futures bets you could take a look at, some predictions for both the Patriots and the NFL in general. That's all coming up in the final hour, which begins next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.